A couple of weeks ago, I had one of those routine doctor appointments. After the usual irritation of being weighed, with my shoes off, of course, blood pressure, blood ox, the question about if I have any prescriptions I need to be refilled, all that stuff, then it was time to go up on the gurney. Doctor says, stick out your tongue and say, ah. Do you know, isn't it difficult to say ah while your tongue is sticking out? But evidently, sticking out your tongue, when somebody looks at you and they examine your tongue, it can tell a lot about you, I imagine. And actually, I went online and I said, what does your tongue tell you about yourself? And I won't bore you with that, but it really does tell you a lot about yourself, about your health. But today we're talking about the tongue in a different way. We're talking about our tongue as our words, and our words really say a lot about us too. And we're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs and seeing exactly what your words say about you. It's important because statistics show that we speak 7,000 words per day, some more, some less. And then you get into that situation where we are now not only uttering words, but we are producing words with the new technology, with email, right? And again, research estimates that we send about 40,000 words worth of email messages a year, which is the equivalent of a small novel. And then you add to that texting, all these words everywhere, words are coming out. It's a big problem because James chapter 3, verse 1 says, we stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So let's be upfront right away and say nobody's perfect in this area for sure, but that means that there's room for improvement for all of us. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Or as someone else put it, better to remain as silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Well, we don't want to be fools, that's for sure. And before we get into our study for today, just a reminder that over the past few weeks, we've been looking at these principles, wise living in a foolish world from the book of Proverbs. And we looked at a definition of wisdom, which is wisdom is living life out of a vital relationship with God. Wisdom is living life out of a vital relationship with God. And what that means is that the vertical dimension, we can't just live our lives on this horizontal plane, but we need to bring God's perspective into all that we say and do and think and the way we act. But we also notice that that perspective is unavailable to us in our natural condition because of our sinfulness. And the only way that that wisdom is available to us is if we receive the very wisdom of God itself through Jesus Christ, who is wisdom incarnate, who takes away the obstacle to gaining all of God's blessing, including his wisdom, taking away our sin. And so we count on the fact that we are now living life out of a new relationship, a vital relationship with the Lord. And he's promised, as we just sang, that if we trust in him with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he's going to make our paths straight. And we're going to see how that applies to our study of our words today. A couple of weeks ago, when Sinclair Ferguson was here, he let me know, as I let you know, that he's preaching on Proverbs on Sunday evenings in his church in Scotland. And he said one thing that really stuck with me. He said, you know, as I've been looking at this, it's clear that wisdom is gained by experience, but the goal of Proverbs is to give you wisdom before the experience. And how much do we need that when it comes to our words? We really, really desperately need this. And so the book of Proverbs is a garment. It's the garment of wisdom. And through holding that garment together are these various threads that discuss these various topics. And one of these subjects that, as we've seen, is so important is the subject of words. And we're going to study that thread as it works its way through this garment of wisdom that we have through the Lord. So I encourage you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. This is going to be the anchor text, if you will, as we move forward today. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Proverbs 4, 23 and 24. This is the wisdom of God. This is the word of God. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word that encourages us, that helps us, that challenges us, the word which introduces us to true wisdom from on high. And we pray that you would help us to understand, that your spirit would apply these words, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, while you're looking there, just notice this one thing, that in that text, it talks about your heart, keeping your heart with all vigilance, and from it flow the springs of life. And notice the progression there. It talks about put away crooked speech in verse 24. Then in verse 25, it says, look, your eyes look directly forward. Then verse 26 talks about your feet. Do not swerve from the right or the left. And so you've got this comprehensive picture of what wisdom looks like in our walk. But notice where it does begin. And so as we progress today through this subject matter, we're going to be looking at three things. We're going to be looking, first of all, why our words are important. We're going to be looking at what your words tell us about you. And then thirdly, we're going to be looking at some questions we need to ask ourselves before we speak. All right, so first of all, let's take a look at why our words are important. Two things. First of all, because they reveal what's inside. They reveal what's inside. That's what we just saw in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Is it not? Keep watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Our hearts are the seat of everything that comes out of us, our words, our deeds, and so we have to keep watch over it very carefully. In Charles Bridges' wonderful commentary, he wrote, if the fortress, that is the heart, is taken, the whole town must surrender. If the heart be seized, the whole person, the affections, motives, desires, and pursuits, all will be yielded up. And so what's in the heart is going to come out. What you really like is going to come out. This is the point that Jesus made as well, isn't it? In the Gospels, in chapter 6, verse 41 and 42. And following, he said, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So what you say, we're told, is who you are. And our efforts to mask what's really inside can only be hidden for a while. Even as a grape bush is going to give you grapes, an apple tree is going to give you apples, what's really in the heart is going to come out. So why our words are important is, first of all, because they reveal what's inside, and second of all, because they are very, very powerful. In Proverbs 18:21, we read, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I found a quote from Paul Tripp this week that I really liked, and parts of it I'm going to intersperse through this message. And he says that the book of Proverbs is in ways a treatise on talk. I would summarize it this way, words give life, words bring death. You choose. What does this mean? It means that you never have spoken a neutral word in your life. Your words have direction to them. And it's that direction that we're going to be looking at as we see how powerful words are. And again, James makes the same point, too. He says words are little things, but they have huge impact. He talks about the bridle of a horse, right? Bridle of a horse is just this little piece of metal. But through it, the horse is directed this way and that way. And he talks about the rudder of a ship. Ships are huge, but their rudders, comparatively speaking, are very, very small. In the same way, words are very powerful, and we have to be aware of that. This is why words are important. But what do words, secondly, say about you? Well, there are two two major things. First of all, they can reveal that you're foolish. The second part of the verse, the text I read, Proverbs 4:24, says, "Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you." So it's not just what people hear in the words you convey. It's not just the words, but it's the meaning behind the words sometimes that convey not a wise message, but a foolish message. And we saw that trusting in the Lord makes our paths straight. The objective of wisdom is to make our words straight, to make our speech right, that's pleasing to God. Unfortunately, the book of Proverbs says that the fool is one who's characterized by destructive words. A couple of weeks ago, Barb and I went to see a member of our church in a nursing home, and we were helping her arrange some game board pieces as the game went along, and we're sitting there in the assembly area with a bunch of people, and suddenly, there's a lady from across the table. She looked at me, and she said, "You disgust me." I said, "You disgust me. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to take all of her money." And then she said, "Don't sign anything." And you could tell from the people around that other people are going like this. And so she said, "Your wife disgusts me too." I said, she's worse than I am. And then she said, "You both disgust me." Well, you know, it was really interesting because I wasn't hurt by that because I knew she didn't mean it. I knew she didn't know who I was. I knew that she didn't have any, I just knew she had issues. But, you know, some of the times our foolish words can be destructive. You know, Paul Tripp said, "If your words are moving in a death direction, there'll be words of anger, malice, slander, jealousy, gossip, division, contempt, racism, violence, judgment, and condemnation." And in one way or another, the book of Proverbs addresses all of these things, which obviously we don't have time to do today. But what we can notice is that the book of Proverbs teaches us, the Bible teaches us, that foolish words are destructive. And again, in the book of James, that New Testament reflection of wisdom, talks about the different ways in which words destroy. It says, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. It's a world of unrighteousness. It stains the whole body." It talks about words as being full of deadly poison. "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things just should not be," he says. And there's the dilemma. You know, you've heard back in the days of the Westerns, you speak with forked tongue. We speak with forked tongues. We have good words one day. We have bad words another day. But foolish words are destructive words. And there are three things they destroy, among many other things. They destroy reputations. They destroy reputations. Proverbs 10:18 says, "He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." A big theme in the book of Proverbs is the theme of slander and a theme of gossip. And the word that's translated gossip in the book of Proverbs is a word whisperer. It's a whisperer. And thinking of the distinctions between slander and gossip, slander is something that you could actually be sued for, because many times it's something that's public, sometimes it's not. But I've never heard a lawsuit for gossip, but they're both equally as destructive. And they often begin with statements like this: "Don't tell anyone that I told you this. You didn't hear this from me. Keep this between you and me." Friends, when you hear those prefixing a comment, you ought to back away. Back away. And what it does is it can damage a person's reputation when we speak of someone, if I speak about you to another person, you may never know it, but the other person does. And your reputation is damaged by what I've said to the other person. And then person C, if you will, may well tell somebody else. And it's a flame of fire, as James says. It just spreads. Destroys not only reputations, but it destroys relationships. In Proverbs 16:28, we read, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. And something that destroys relationships that Proverbs expands on quite exhaustively is the subject of anger. Anger is something that destroys relationships. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. You know, we all know what it's like to get really angry. But what do you do with that anger? And most of the time, our anger is not righteously motivated, is it? It's usually selfishly motivated. And so we bring it out, and we use it like the thrusts of a sword, seeking to damage another person, contrary to the law of love. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, maybe you've been excusing yourself for your anger all your life. Maybe you've been saying, oh, I have a temper. I got it from my mother. I got it from my dad. My friends, that's no excuse. It's not good to have a temper. It's even worse to display a temper. And that's the reason that James says, know this, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Have you ever known your anger, an angry outburst, to actually accomplish something positive? I know there's such a thing as righteous indignation, but let's be honest, that most of the time, that's not the case with us. So anger, foolish words destroy reputations, they destroy relationships, and they destroy peace. Very rarely will someone say to your face, you disgust me. But they'll say it behind your back. And the strife and difficulty can begin. And Proverbs 17:14 gives us this picture of the beginning of strife is like letting out water. It's like letting out water. You know, how do you bring it back in? It's like putting toothpaste back in a toothpaste tube. It's letting out water, but how do you put it back? When it's gone, it's gone. This is why we need to weigh so carefully what our words have to say. And so, are you foolish with your words? Are your words destructive? And I know for each of us, even within the very same day, we're going to have some words of foolishness and words of wisdom at the same time. That's the Christian struggle. That's the battle. That's the walk that we're on. So what the words say about you, the first thing is they can say you're a fool, or secondly, they can say that you're wise. Positive words of power of words, Paul Tripp talks about this again. Your words have direction to them. If your words are moving in the life direction, they'll be words of encouragement, hope, love, peace, unity, instruction, wisdom, and correction. Wow. Words of encouragement. Are you an encourager? Are you an encourager? I mean, when somebody comes, sees you coming, do they say, oh, I know that I can expect a word of encouragement from them? Or when they see you coming, do they say, I think I'm going to go the other way? Because they never have anything nice to say to me. Listen to these words from Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Now, you know what a blessing it is to be encouraged, don't you? And in the New Testament, we're encouraged to do the same thing. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." I remember R.C. Sproul talking one time about the first book he submitted for publication, and he said, it was all marked up when he got it back, he got the draft back, red marks all over the place, lines through sentences, X's through paragraphs, and he said he would have been really discouraged from doing any more writing had not one of his middle school teachers said to him one time, "Bob, don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't write." So it didn't matter. That teacher had said to him, there's one word of encouragement way back when. Aren't we glad she said that to him? Because he wasn't discouraged. He continued to write. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. And in chapter 12, verse 25, we read, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." I have to be honest with you that this past week I was somewhat weary from all the events of the past couple weeks. And at that time, I got a phone call. And it was a phone call from a member of our church. And he said, "I've been meaning to call you this week. I just wanted you to know that your sermon last week was a great encouragement to me." I can't tell you what that meant to me. It was amazing. It's like a shot of sugar, you know? It's like a shot of emotional and spiritual honey into your life. And so everybody needs encouragement. Your children need encouragement. Are you someone who's always there ready to be a cheerleader for your kids when they do something well? You need to obviously be in a position to notice, say, good job on that assignment. Good job in that work. Thank you so much for helping to set the table. I mean, whatever, find a word of encouragement. Your spouses need encouragement. Hopefully you know what they're going through, and you'll be able to say, "I want you to know that I'm really grateful for everything you do for me. I want you to know that I'm thankful for all the blessings that we share together." But it takes a proactive mindset that we have to trust the Lord to bring about in our lives. So why words of wisdom are words of encouragement. And obviously, they're words of truth. We're going to be looking at this in greater detail in a couple of weeks as we look at that text in Proverbs 6. It talks about what God hates. What God hates. Something he hates is lying lips. But also in terms of instruction, in terms of encouragement, we have instruction and correction. Very, very important words that show that we're wise. And that starts early in life, Proverbs 15:5. "A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence." But we also have to be willing to hear correction. So the part of communication, this part of wise communication, if you will, is not only what we say, but it's what we hear, how we hear. Since we're fallen, we're fallible, we're in need of God's grace every day, are you willing to receive correction? Proverbs talks about that. It says, "The way of fools seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." I had a friend with whom I went to college, and he was a really good guy. We were good friends, but he started to get involved in ministry with me, and what I discovered working with him is that he wouldn't take any direction. He wouldn't take any correction. And so he actually went to seminary with me as well, and then went out into the ministry. But that was a theme that was in his attitude. He would not listen to correction. And he went to a ministry in Baltimore, and Barb and I went to visit, to surprise him one Sunday to go and visit him. And we walked in the door, we picked up a bulletin, and there were these black marks, magic marker marks on the bulletin, and those are the marks over where his name it was, because he had been fired. And the reason he had been fired is because it continued. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't take any correction. And he went to a church on the West Coast, and the same thing happened. Last time I heard, he was driving, doing long-haul truck driving. But a wise person, you know, none of us knows it all. We all need guidance. We need one another. We need correction. We need direction from others as well. And so, we've seen why words are important. We've seen what your words say about you. Well, here are some questions to ask before you speak. Some questions you should ask. First of all, what are my motives? What are my motives? I mean, really. Are my words going to be words of life, or are they going to be destructive words? Is my motive to build someone up, or is my motive to tear them down? That's the very first thing we need to do. The second question is, are the words I'm about to speak true? Are they true? Do you know the facts of the situation? You've all played the game, whisper down the lane, or otherwise known as telephone. You can't start this message and go very far before it gets distorted. And so if you're not absolutely sure that what you're saying is true, you should not repeat it. But also, thirdly, does this person need to know what I'm about to say? Does this person need to know what, it might be true, but do they need to know what I'm about to say? And this comes down to a very, very common problem among people, yes, among Christians too. And that is, when I'm offended, when someone offends me, say, Stuart offends me, Stuart, you've offended me. But see, I'm not going to say that Stuart's offended me. I'm going to come to Wilbur, and I'm going to say, Wilbur, you know what Stuart did to me? It was so bad. I'm not going to talk to Stuart. I'm going to talk to Wilbur, and then Wilbur's going to talk to Bert, and then Bert's going to talk to... You know how it goes, right? But the Bible's very clear about this. If someone offends you, you must go to that person. And I, for one, will not listen to criticism of another person if that person hasn't first gone to that person. On our staff, we have a rule among ourselves that if someone comes to us and wants to complain about somebody, you know what we're going to say? Well, did you talk to them? Did you talk to them? Very, very important for us to be sure that the person needs to know. Well, if Stuart offends me, the only person needs to know is Stuart. And I'm going to go to Stuart, and he's going to say, I'm sorry, aren't you Stuart? Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Fourthly, will your words stir up strife? Think about it. Are these words I'm about to speak, are they going to stir up trouble? Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it's a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Now, I like to describe people as each of us carries two buckets in our hand. One bucket is a bucket of gasoline, and the other is a bucket of water. And whenever there's a spark of a conflict, you have a choice to make, don't you? Which one are you going to pour on that spark? Well, some people seem to like to throw the bucket of gasoline on there and see how far it's going to flame up. But, you know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. This doesn't mean that we avoid trouble or issues, but it means it's done to the right channels and that we honestly deal with them. But there are some folks who seem to thrive on conflict. And this is one of the important commitments that people make when they become a member of this church. You'll notice. You have noticed last week, if you were here, once again heard new members receive their being received. And we asked them this question, do you support the government and discipline of the church and promise to study its purity and peace? And so we've made a commitment before the Lord to pursue peace together and to pursue the principles that make peace. and would continue to enhance our oneness and our unity in him. And the last question, but the most important one, will these words be honoring to Christ? Will what I'm about to say be honoring to Christ? And you think to yourself, well, ask yourself, well, if he could hear, well, he does hear these words. He hears everything that I say. And so will these words be honoring to Christ? All these things are things that enable us to live our lives in a way that is a wise life. And so much how important it is that that warp and woof of our words, our communication, be formed by the Holy Spirit, that we might be clothed with his wisdom. The remarkable thing about our Savior, think about this. He never spoke a word, a sinful word, a selfish word, an inappropriate word. Someone asked me after the first service, says, well, Jesus called his enemies snakes, didn't he? And I said, yeah, because they were snakes. Okay, that was a word of judgment, rightly issued, for sure. But it brings me in awe of our Savior all the more to think that his words were perfect. And his words had to be perfect so that he could be our substitute. You know, one of the scariest texts in the Bible is Matthew 12:36, where Jesus says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account for in the day of judgment. Are you ready for that, my friends? Every idle word that you've ever spoken. And this is what makes the gospel look so sweet. Because if you're here today, are you ready to stand before God and to have the tape rolled back and have every idle word that's ever been spoken? Are you ready to hear that and then be condemned for it? Well, the good news is that Jesus has taken our condemnation upon himself so that we can have new life. We're not going to be perfect in our speech, for sure, but we have the gift of his Spirit to help us to grow. And so I hope, just close with this Paul Tripp quote, when you hear the word talk, you ought to hear something that is high and holy and significant and important. May God help us never to look at talk as something that doesn't matter. So what do your words say about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your help. Lord, we are so aware today of our own inadequacy, how we somehow think we have the right at times to say things that are inappropriate, things that are hurtful, things that aren't even true. Lord, please forgive us. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect in every way, including in his speech. And he did not revile when he was attacked. And we thank you so much for the forgiveness that we have. And I ask if there's anyone here today who has not yet come to trust in him, understanding that their words are going to be open and laid bare one day. Pray that they would look to Christ for forgiveness and help. And help us all, Lord, to speak words that are words of blessing, that express wisdom for your glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.